Here it is!
From deep inside your audio device of choice.
Ladies and gentlemen, enough depressing stuff in the news these days. Little relief from that. Dateline Newark, New Jersey. A Pennsylvania man who was going through security at a New Jersey airport was found to have had a live turtle concealed in his pants. According to the Transportation Security Administration, they won't be doing that for long. The turtle was detected after a body scanner alarm went off at Newark Liberty International Airport. A TSA officer then conducted a pat-down on the man from East Stroudsburg, I guess that's in New Jersey, and determined there was something concealed in his, well, in the groin area of his pants. When questioned further, the man reached into said pants and pulled out the turtle, which was about 5 inches long, wrapped in a small blue towel. Turtles like towels, don't they? He said it was a red ear slider turtle, a species that's popular as a pet. The man, name not released, was escorted from the checkpoint area by Port Authority police, ended up missing his flight. The turtle was confiscated. Not clear if the turtle was the man's pet or why he had it in his pants. Well, wouldn't fit in a shirt. The TSA Federal Security Director for New Jersey said the incident remains under investigation. Not clear if the man would face any charges or penalties. Well, they took away his turtle. Penalty enough, wouldn't you think? Also, in the realm of the almost amusing in the news, CNN, as you may know, is trying to lighten up, youngen up, brighten up, uncable up its output. You know, still news and stuff, but, you know, more lifestyle, more getting to know the anchors a little bit. So here's Wolf Blitzer showing off his knowledge of popular music.
And Pamela, before we go, I got a playlist fit for a king, yes. Thanks to Apple Music, you can now listen as King Charles does. He just released his curated playlist. The artists represent a wide range of genres and time periods. The British monarch paid homage both to pop singer Kylie Minogue and reggae legend Bob Marley.
Minogue and reggae. He's in the club. Hello, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
like other men do. Get out of here and get me some money too. Well, I fell for your jabbing and I took you in. Now all you got to offer me is a drink of gin. Why don't you do right like some other men do? Get out of here and get me some money too. Get out of here and get me some money too.
From Santa Monica, California, the home of the homeless, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this edition of the show. And now, it's got to be the top of the show, because it's top of mind.
Looks like what's close.
Tesla, you've heard of it, is recalling substantially all units of the Cybertruck pickup over a defect that could cause a panel to fly off in traffic. The Cybertruck has been dogged, or catted even, by quality issues, causing several previous recalls. It's been trumpeted by Tesla CEO Elon Musk as a reflection of the company's engineering prowess. 46,000 units of the Cybertruck is being recalled over the stainless steel exterior trim panel that can delaminate and detach from the vehicle, according to National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. We still got one of those? The recall covers Cybertrucks assembled from November 13, 2023 to February 27 this year. Tesla has identified 151 warranty claims that may be related to the condition, but is not aware of any collisions, fatalities, or injuries tied to the defect. It's the latest in a series of recalls for the Cybertruck. Past issues have included a faulty accelerator pedal. You don't need a rear view camera problem. And a windshield wiper problem. Owners will be notified in May of the latest recall and will get their vehicles fixed for free. Would you like maybe a new panel that falls off? And data from Edmunds, that's a company that does auto-related data. That data shows that Tesla owners have been trading in their vehicles at record levels since Elon joined the White House. March represented the highest ever share Edmunds had seen for Tesla trade-ins toward newer used cars from brands sold at auto dealerships. Quote, shifts in Tesla consumer sentiment could create an opportunity for legacy automakers and EV startups to gain ground, said the head of insights at Edmunds. Wouldn't you like to be the head of insights somewhere? Me too. The data from Edmunds published this week said that March represented the, quote, the highest ever share it had seen for Tesla trade-ins toward new or used cars from dealerships selling other brands. The Tesla brand, more than any other, is tightly tied to its CEO. Probably the greatest insight that Elon Musk has ever had, or maybe will have, was that he could sell cars without ads, without having to pay for ads. He would just get oodles of personal publicity. In August of last year, surveys found that just 2% of car shoppers in the U.S. were unfamiliar with Musk. Edmunds, the auto data firm, also said that shopping for new models of Tesla vehicles on its platform dropped to its lowest level last month since October 2022. Even before the whole Doge thing. Wouldn't you buy a Doge? Oh, I see. Tesla's brand was suffering. Its brand value fell by 26% or about $15 billion last year a second straight annual decline, according to research and consulting firm Brand Finance. Sounds like Musk love. Now, news of this smart world.
It's a smart world after all. It's a smart world after all. It's a smart world after all. It's a smart, smart world.
Well, what could be smarter than having to watch a commercial before you watch the show you or the movie you want to watch on your smart TV? Owners of smart TVs and streaming sticks running the Roku operating system are already subject to video advertisements on the home screen. Now Roku is testing what it might look like if it took things a step further and forced people to watch a video ad play before getting to the home screen, which is where you have to spend about 10 minutes finding what you want to watch. Reports of Roku customers seeing video ads automatically play before they could view the home screen started appearing online this week, according to Ars Technica. A Reddit user, for example, posted, "I just turned on my Roku and I got an unskippable ad for a movie before I got to the regular Roku home screen." Multiple apparent users reported seeing an ad for the movie Moana 2. When reached for comment, a Roku spokesperson shared a company statement confirming that the auto-playing ads are expected behavior, but not a permanent part of the operating system currently. Instead, Roku claimed it was just trying out the ad capability. You know, just trying out irritating you more, seeing if it really worked. Roku's representative said the business, quote, has and will always require continuous testing and innovation across design, navigation, content, and our first-rate advertising products. Adding, quote, "Our recent test is just the latest example as we explore new ways to showcase brands and programming while still providing a delightful and simple user experience." Simple if you just sit there. Roku didn't respond to requests for comment on whether it has plans to make auto-playing ads permanent, the devices that are affected, or why Roku decided to use auto-playing ads, or customer backlash. Most of the comments Ars Technica reviewed about the marketing test have suggested that customers would get rid of their Roku device if the software continues to force them to watch an ad before getting to the content they actually want, maybe even paid, to see. Forum users who worried the change was permanent called the ads unacceptable and intrusive. If Roku increases its ad load on customer devices from still images to ads with moving pictures with sound, it will test customers' limits. Some who have tolerated a static image on a neglected part of their screen, wow, that's all they had up to now, may not be accepting of more distracting ad formats. "I could accept the static ad on the side. Forcing a loud commercial is awful," said one, maybe ex-customer. As a budget streaming hardware brand, well, what do you expect? Roku has been known to push the boundaries on ads. Roku has even gone so far as to apply for a patent for technology that shows ads over anything you plug into your TV. They've never actually implemented this capability yet. There are less ad-intrusive smart TV platforms, but in general, it's getting increasingly difficult for smart TV users to avoid ads. All TV manufacturers, from budget brands to premium, are growing reliance on ads and tracking as ways to boost and bolster revenue among declining hardware prices, sales, and innovation and increased competition. Oof, who wants that? Speaking of competition, here's this week's
Side effects of the week.
Jardians may cause serious side effects, including ketoacidosis that may be fatal, dehydration that can lead to a sudden worsening of kidney function, and general yeast or urinary tract infections. A rare life-threatening bacterial infection in the skin of the perineum could occur. Stop taking Jardians and call your doctor right away if you have symptoms of this infection, ketoacidosis, or an allergic reaction, and don't take it if you're on dialysis. Taking Jardians with the sulfonylurea or insulin may cause low blood sugar.
On the other hand, it may not. You know, by the way, I don't know if you've noticed, but side effects on television, which this isn't, by the way, in case you... Now, all of a sudden, you know, they would have an announcer like that reading the side effects list very fast. And on the screen would be people playing volleyball or sailing or running, bicycling through the forest or running after kites. Now they have the same footage, but they actually print the side effects the announcer is talking about in really, really tiny type at the bottom of the screen, but it's still there. And now,
news of the Olympic movement. Produced by Jim Ebersole III.
Well, one thing you can say about the Olympic movement, at least right now, it's not moving. The organizers of the 2028 LA Olympics say the Games will help Los Angeles rebuild after the wildfires that devastated the city earlier this year. Quote, "The rebirth, the rebuild, maybe reimagining LA 2.0. The Olympics as a catalyst for all those things. We think it is really part of our ethos," unquote, LA 2020 Organizing Committee Chairman Casey Wasserman. I guess he's in charge of the ethos. This was during the IOC's annual meeting. Quote, "You can't have a natural disaster at that scale in a city as big and as important as Los Angeles and not have it be part of your core philosophy going forward," unquote. Unless you move the Games. Oh, he didn't say that. Wasserman said that Kendrick Lamar will play a big part in the opening ceremony of the rapper's hometown Olympics, this after his halftime show at the Super Bowl last month. Here's Casey Wasserman again. Quote, "Fortunately, in my day job, I represent Kendrick Lamar," unquote. He heads an international talent agency. Quote, "He is truly an LA icon, so I think it would be pretty fair bet that Kendrick will be involved in the Olympics in Los Angeles in some way," unquote. "Everyone loves a comeback story," Wasserman said about the devastated huge part of LA. He said LA's Olympic venues and the operational plans escaped serious damage. Quote, "From purely an Olympics perspective, we got very lucky. That's not the most important thing. What's important is helping people get back into their homes, get back settled, get back with their lives," unquote. So the construction, labor, and equipment necessary to build the transportation infrastructure that would enable it to be, as the mayor promised, a car-free Olympics won't be used up by the transportation equipment and workmanship involved in rebuilding the homes. No. Quote, "Irrespective of politics today, America will be open and accepting to all 209 countries for the Olympics," Wasserman said. "LA is the most diverse city in the history of humanity. We will welcome the people from around the world and give them all a great time," unquote. Said his team has made significant strides with Donald Trump's administration, which has security obligations for the Olympics. Quote, "I've met with President Trump and his team both prior to the inauguration and again last month. We have a regular cadence across all federal agencies with leadership from the president to make sure these games deliver for all our constituents," unquote. He's got a cadence for his ethos. The U.S. visa program was the subject of a sharp question from one IOC member. He cited a red list ban on travel to the U.S. from 11 countries. I don't anticipate any problems from any countries to come and participate, Wasserman said, noting the U.S. State Department has a, quote, fully staffed desk to help prepare. The Olympics, it's a movement, and we all need one every day. Vincent?
The sneer is gone from Casey's lips. His teeth are clenched in hate. He pounds with cruel vengeance his bat upon the plate. And now the pitcher holds the ball, and now he lets it go. And now the air is shattered by the force of Casey's blow. Oh, somewhere in this favored land, the sun is shining bright. The band is playing somewhere, and somewhere hearts are light, and somewhere men are laughing, and somewhere children shout. But there is no joy in Mudville. Mighty Casey has struck out.
From Vincent to Ralph.
AI to the rescue, smarter every day. From work to play, it leads the way. Innovation, creation, it's here to stay. AI makes life better. Hip, hip, hooray.
Only two hips. The next time you're due for a medical exam, you may get a call from someone like Anna, a friendly voice that can help you prepare for your appointment and answer pressing questions you might have. With her calm, warm demeanor, Anna has been trained to put patients at ease, like many nurses across the country, but unlike them, he's available to chat 24/7 in multiple languages, from Hindi to Haitian Creole. I wonder if Wolf speaks that. That's because Anna, isn't human, according to the Associated Press, but an artificial intelligence program created by Hippocratic AI, one of a number of new companies offering ways to automate time-consuming tasks, usually performed by nurses and medical assistants. It's the most visible sign of AI's inroads into healthcare. Hundreds of hospitals are using increasingly sophisticated computer programs to monitor patients' vital signs. Based on my recent experience, they still wake you up every 2 hours with a human. They also use those programs to flag emergency situations and trigger step-by-step action plans for care, jobs that were all previously handled by nurses and other health professionals. Hospitals say AI is helping their nurses work more efficiently while addressing burnout and understaffing. Well, you could hire more nurses if you're... But nursing unions argue that this poorly understood technology is overriding nurses' expertise and degrading the quality of care patients receive. Quote, hospitals have been waiting for the moment when they have something that appears to have enough legitimacy to replace nurses, says official of National Nurses United. The entire ecosystem, she says, is designed to automate, de-skill, and ultimately replace caregivers. Unquote. Her group, the largest nursing union in the country, has helped organize more than 20 demonstrations at hospitals around the USA, pushing for the right to have say in how AI can be used and protection from discipline if they decide to disregard automated advice. The group raised new alarms a couple months ago when
Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
suggested AI nurses, as good as any doctor, could help deliver care in rural areas. Just this Friday, Dr. Oz, who's been nominated to oversee Medicare and Medicaid, says he believes AI can, quote, liberate doctors and nurses from all the paperwork, unquote. Hippocratic AI initially promoted a rate of $9 an hour for its AI assistants, compared with about $40 an hour for a registered nurse. Why, that's a deal. But it has since dropped that language, instead touting its service and seeking to assure customers that they have been carefully tested. Company refused requests for an interview, but they had one of their... No, they didn't have a robot nurse answer questions. Not yet. And now, news of our friend the Atom.
Clean. Save to Jeep to meet.
Save
Jeep to Jeep to meet.
Jeep
save to
save to meet.
Save
save
to
save to meet.
Speaking of robots, robots will begin moving sandbags that were used to absorb radiation-contaminated water after the Fook thing. Robots will be doing that as early as next week, said a spokesman for the plant operator, TEPCO. They say the bags on underground floors of two buildings have been left untouched following that nuclear accident, the worst since Chernobyl. Radiation levels on the sandbag surface are as high as 4.4 sieverts per hour, which means humans can die if they approach them, according to the TEPCO spokesperson speaking to Agence France-Presse. Japanese media reports said there were 2,850 bags to be collected, a number which has not been confirmed by TEPCO, which says they weigh 91,500 pounds in total. It's all the bags. Two robots developed to collect the bags, one with a moving claw, well, I got that, were Wednesday placed on the underground floors. Workers will use them to, quote, carefully, unquote, bring the sandbags out in an operation that TEPCO aims to finish by the end of the 2027 fiscal year. So they're in not a big hurry. The bags will then be placed inside containers for radioactive material and kept at a temporary storage site. You figured that one, right? Outside the buildings. A temporary storage site. Because there's no... In addition to contaminated sandbags, around 880 tons of radioactive debris remain in the plant. Removing that is seen as the most daunting challenge. Oh, I got that. In the decades-long decommissioning project because of the dangerously high radiation levels involved. Clean, cheap, safe. Too high to meter, our friend the atom.
Crack a little smile. Oh. tell me now, who do you love?
From Bedminster, New Jersey. I know Jersey's a toilet, but Bedminster is my White House away from Mar-a-Lago. This is the world's favorite president with another edition of Truth Social Audio, brought to you by Trump Cola. More bubbles, more burps. There used to be a TV show before the time of my great show, and wouldn't it be amazing if they started running those episodes again for the kids who were too young to see it? But on this other show is where they said, here comes the judge. If it was on now, they'd have to say, there goes the judge. In particular, the crazy left-wing lunatic judge who thinks he invented the law and everybody else has to buy it from him. I used to think judges in my beauty contests were borderline nuts. But these days, the only borderline I see is a stupid straight line that makes Canadians think they own the place. And even they don't have a judge as crazy as this guy. He acts like he thinks every time he puts on a robe, it means 70 million people voted for him. That's some special stupid robe. If you ask me, I'd rather have a case in front of Judge Judy. She's crazy too, but at least she's got great ratings. This guy would end up owing Nielsen 20 points. This judge probably spends his evenings setting Teslas on fire. Wait till he finds out they don't contain any gasoline. He'll be there all night. As you may know, I bought a Tesla this week. I actually sat in it. I'm not allowed to drive, but an unbelievably great seat. Maybe the best seat I ever sat in. If Elon designs war plans the way he designed seats, this country has nothing to fear from China. My people tell me there's nothing as uncomfortable as a Chinese seat. Maybe a so-called Canadian seat comes close. If this judge was working on one of my old beauty pageants, I'd have two words for him. You are so fired. I don't wish anything bad on anybody, but that guy should spend the next 20 years sitting in a Chinese car. Talk to you all too soon.
Trump Social Audio is also brought to you by Trump Soap. More bubbles than the cola. So long.
Now, news of the godly here on the show. Roughly 140 Catholic clerics credibly accused of molesting children have served as military chaplains over the years, according to the Chicago Sun-Times, including 10 priests who also ministered in Illinois and altogether may be responsible for sexually abusing more than 50 kids. That's according to an analysis by the Chicago Sun-Times. You're still one of those. But you wouldn't know that from the Archdiocese for the Military Services, the arm of the Catholic Church for the armed forces, veterans, hospitals, and federal employees serving outside the country, headed by Archbishop Timothy Broglio and ministering to about 1.8 million people. The Military Archdiocese maintains no public list of credibly accused clergy. Among just three major U.S. ecclesiastical jurisdictions without one. Wouldn't you like one, guys? A number of Catholic leaders and reformers, along with some of the faithful in the pews, have encouraged dioceses and religious orders to come clean, about sexually abusive members in the name of healing and atonement over a crisis that's unfolded over decades and ruined many lives. To date, 31 U.S. archdioceses have done so, posting publicly available lists of personnel files of credibly accused clergy online. San Francisco and Miami, the only ones, along with the military, not to do so. San Francisco and Miami. Meanwhile, most of the smaller geographic units of the church, called dioceses, also have some level of public disclosure, including the Diocese of Cleveland, for which Broglio was ordained. A Broglio spokesman rejects what critics brand as needless secrecy by saying the vast majority of priests serving for the military services archdiocese are essentially on loan from other wings of the church. They're not incardinated in this archdiocese, says the spokesman. They remain subject to their bishop of incardination's practices of publishing such a list of credibly accused clerics. And those practices, he says, they vary. There are, however, 8 clerics currently incardinated in the archdiocese. The Archbishop for the Military Services, USA, 4 auxiliary bishops, 1 retired auxiliary bishop, and 2 permanent deacons. No cleric incardinated in this archdiocese has ever been accused credibly of sexual abuse of a minor. That is the Archdiocese of Chicago. Yes, yet most archdioceses that maintain a public list don't only include their homegrown clergy. The majority also disclose those who are based or ordained outside their jurisdictions, but served locally. Well, these things happen. And, Dateline Dublin, the Galway Diocese has not yet decided if the remains of disgraced Irish Bishop Eamon Casey will be removed from the crypt of Galway Cathedral. He was laid to rest there in 2017. He resigned as Bishop of Galway way back in 1992 when it became public he had fathered a child. He was removed from public ministry in 2007 after he was accused of sexual abuse. Many Catholics in Ireland have called for Casey's body to be disinterred from the Catholic crypt following the broadcast last July of an RTE, it's public broadcasting in Ireland, documentary Bishop Casey's Buried Secrets. Good title. The film alleged that the Vatican had earlier investigated Casey over child abuse allegations concerning multiple people, including his niece. At least 2 of the alleged victims were minors. Those allegations, nor the reason Casey was removed from public ministry, were not made public at the time. A spokesperson for the Diocese of Galway said discussions are underway about the appropriate place for Casey's remains. The process of consultation and consideration is continuing, he said. News of the godly. Ladies and gentlemen, copyrighted feature of this broadcast, and now, the apologies of the week.
We're so sorry.
The British Broadcasting Corporation. Yes. The apology of the week from them. One every week. They issued an apology this week after a producer asked the Israeli embassy to the United Kingdom to help the BBC find a guest who would be critical of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Quote, "This was a serious mistake which we have looked into," the corporation said in a statement to the Jewish Chronicle. Quoting again, "It clearly falls well below our standards. We apologize unreservedly to the Israeli embassy." Embassy spokeswoman Orly Goldschmidt shared on X that her team at the Israeli embassy in London received a WhatsApp message from a BBC World Service producer looking for a guest who would appear on the television program NewsHour. Producer said the show's presenter would specifically like to interview an Israeli military voice, can be former, who would be critical of Netanyahu. He could have had me. Dateline Long Beach, California, the Long Beach Unified School District apologized this week after students at Cabrillo High School posted a racist photo on social media. The photo, which appears to be taken during an assembly on campus in the school's gym, showed a group of students lined up spelling out a racist word on their t-shirts. Well, that sounds like it was planned. As the district said, it was deeply disappointed by the disturbing and offensive photo. Cabrillo High School called the conduct unacceptable and apologized for the harm it caused their community. Quote, we want to be clear. This type of behavior is not condoned or tolerated at Cabrillo High School or anywhere in our district, the administration wrote in a statement. Immediate steps are being taken to address the situation, and we are working with all relevant parties to ensure accountability, unquote. They haven't subpoenaed the T-shirts, apparently. Michigan baseball infielder Mitch Voit apologized this week for a celebration he described as, quote, an immature decision in the heat of the moment. In his team's 11-0 victory against USC last week. I have to root for them just because they beat USC. After sliding headfirst into third base early in the win, Voit lowered his nose to the third base line and pantomimed snorting a line of cocaine. The gesture, this is a quote, the gesture I made does not reflect my character, the household I was raised in, or the Block M that I represent in any kind of way, he wrote in a note on X. Quoting again, I take full responsibility for what I did, and I'm truly sorry to all those I have negatively impacted by doing this, unquote. His celebration came after the junior from Milwaukee ripped a triple into center field, bringing in 3 runs. Video clips of his gesture went viral on social media, many finding it clever and humorous, while others voiced their displeasures. It's a fine line between clever and displeasure. A British Columbia company says it will remove its ad at a Vancouver SkyTrain station that jokingly referred to Canada as the 51st state. Herbaland Naturals, Canada's largest gummy vitamin manufacturer, they have more than one, faced a backlash after a large ad plastered on a wall at Vancouver City Center Station was shared on social media. The ad featured some of the company's product against a white maple leaf with large text saying, Herbaland proudly made in the 51st state, Canada, with the 51st state crossed out. It's trying to appeal to the flourishing Buy Canadian movement in the country, which is being driven by trade tensions and threats of annexation by President Trump. But the cheeky message, according to the Vancouver Sun, fell flat. Critics described the ad as moronic, misguided, and a good way to get boycotted. Quote, seems like a bad idea, poorly executed, said one commenter on Reddit. Some people who saw the ad online weren't clear as to whether the company was joking or not. I know that feeling. Quote, it looked like the store wrote 51st state and someone else scratched it out. Not the best idea, unquote, a commenter. Other people got the joke, didn't think it was appropriate. Quote, that really bothers me, the idea that it's being normalized. Even by joking, people can become desensitized to the most offensive ideas, unquote. Responding to the backlash, the company apologized for the ad and said it's going to be removed. Quote, to be clear, Herbaline does not support the idea of Canada becoming the 51st state, it said. Our goal with this mural was to take a stand against the idea of being in the 51st state, which is why we crossed it out. But we can see that even mentioning this notion, even to disagree with it, is in poor taste. We fully believe in Canada's independence and unique identity. And I think they're for sale. No, not the company. The country? Dateline Bulgaria, a top-flight Bulgarian soccer team, has apologized after it held a minute's silence before its recent match to mourn a former player who the club mistakenly believed had died before Arda Karjali's game against Levski Sofia in Bulgaria. Both sets of players lined up near the center of the field to honor Arda's former player, Petko Ganchev. But before the game had finished, Arda published a statement on Facebook apologizing to Ganchev, saying they had received wrong information about his death. Quote, the management of PFC, I guess that's football club, Arda, would like to express a huge apology to the former Arda player Petko Ganchev and his relatives after the club received wrong information about his death. We wish Petko Ganchev many more years of good health and to enjoy the success of Arda. The game between Arda and Levski Sofia wound up as a 1-1 tie. Sounds exciting. Dateline Melbourne, Australia, an American influencer was sparked outrage after posting a video of her snatching a baby wombat from its mother while in Australia, apologized, saying she had acted out of concern for the young animal's welfare. Australian authorities had threatened Sam Jones with deportation after she posted a video on her Instagram account of her running with a wombat Joey in her hands from its mother on a roadside at night. I ran not to rip the Joey away from its mother, but from fear that she might attack me, Jones said. She also uses the name Samantha Strabel. The snap judgment I made in these moments was never from a place of harm or stealing a Joey, she added. The Prime Minister of Australia said the video of the young wombat being grabbed was, quote, just an outrage, unquote. The Home Affairs Minister says his department is investigating whether Jones had breached the terms of her visa before she left the country. There's never been a better day to be a baby wombat in Australia, the Home Affairs Minister said after she left the country voluntarily. He said he did not expect Jones would apply for an Australian visa again. The animal appears to be a common wombat. This isn't my judgment. This is the Associated Press. Also known as a bare-nosed wombat. Ah, it is a protected marsupial found only in Australia, like most marsupials. Jones, based in Montana, claimed she became extremely concerned when she found the two wombats on a road not moving. As wombats are so often hit on Australian roads, I stopped to ensure they got off the road safely and didn't get hit. However, as is seen from the video, when I walked up to them, the Joey did not move or run off. I was concerned it may have been sick or injured and made a snap judgment to pick up the Joey and see if that was the case. An unidentified man laughs as he films Jones, saying, quote, I caught a baby wombat, unquote. Animal welfare experts said Jones could have harmed the Joey by dangling it by its two forelegs or by its two legs, which would be even more painful. Quote, I have learned from this situation, says Jones, and I'm truly sorry for the distress I have caused. I did not handle the situation as best as I should have, unquote. No comment from the Joey. The apologies of the week, ladies and gentlemen, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. And now, sounds like crypto winner. Still, Binance meme coin platform for meme. I am speaking English. Has restored launch features after an attack stole 130,000 worth of Binance coin. The attack caused the platform to suspend its launch function and start an emergency investigation. Formeme claimed on X that, quote, the launch function has now been resumed after a thorough security inspection. Our team has addressed the issue and reinforced system security. Any affected users will reportedly be fully compensated and are encouraged to fill out a claim form on its website. Hours earlier, Formeme said it was under attack and that the launch function has been suspended for emergency investigation. Crypto security firm PeckShield claimed the hacker stole 200 Binance coins from Formeme, worth roughly $130,000, and transferred it to a crypto exchange known as Fixed Float. Is this sounding legit to you yet? Security firm Slow Mist also stated that four meme attackers exploited a feature that let them send a small amount of tokens to a pancake swap pair address that didn't exist yet. Because of this, the attackers could add liquidity to the pair without using the yet-to-be-launched tokens. Ultimately, the attacker was able to add liquidity at an unintended price to steal pool liquidity, according to Slowmist. We'll have a translation for all that on next week's broadcast. Crypto winter, ladies and gentlemen, it's cold.
We've got the ultra-modern neck of getting oil from the deepest crack. So give the boys just a bit of slack and say a hearty what the frack.
The Trump administration plans to increase regulatory flexibility for oil and gas companies trying to find ways to dispose of copious amounts of toxic wastewater. Some more toxic water to be disposed of on today's program. The wastewater, also known as produced water, although not directed or written by, comes back to the surface during oil and gas drilling. It contains both proprietary drilling fluids and naturally occurring hazardous compounds found in water underground. That can include organic compounds like your arsenic, your benzene. Fracking generates massive quantities of this toxic wastewater that companies are struggling to manage in the Permian Basin. Injecting the water into underground disposal wells has led to earthquakes. Problem has spurred research into new disposal methods. Just in time, I guess. Now, under the Environmental Protection Agency's current rule, discharges of produced water are more restricted in the eastern United States than in the arid West. The agency announced last week it will revise that regulation to, quote, help unleash American energy, unquote. Among the items it's considering, expanding the geographic range where treated oil field wastewater can be discharged into rivers and streams. The EPA also said it will review new opportunities for using treated wastewater for industrial and agricultural applications, including for artificial intelligence. You need wastewater and data center cooling, and to irrigate rangeland. The cattle won't mind the toxins, will they? The agency said it will consider options for extracting lithium and other critical minerals from produced water. Some states, like Texas, are already in the process of permitting discharges to waterways, in some cases after treatment, in other cases not, and conducting pilot studies on irrigating crops with treated produced water. That's all from Inside Climate News. The EPA announcement lends federal support to efforts like that from Texas. While the statement said the changes would lower energy costs, the cost of treating produced water is still widely considered to be more expensive than just injecting the stuff underground. But then you cause earthquakes. Because this wastewater is toxic, and the Trump administration is moving to roll back multiple public health rules, some environmental protection experts greeted the announcement with deep concern. Quote, when I see phrases like lower energy costs, regulatory flexibility, beneficial reuse, they are all code words for relaxing protections to allow cheap disposal of what is very hazardous material. Unquote, John Quigley, a fellow at the University of Pennsylvania Center for Energy Policy, former secretary of the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection. Get your toxic water. Oh, and the EPA press office didn't respond to a request for comment. Get your toxic wastewater now. Oh, and ladies and gentlemen, one thing more. This just in, given the fact that the Trump, this won't be a surprise, given the fact that the Trump administration is basically dismantling the Voice of America, but they've announced today they're renaming it the Voice of Mexico. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude this week's edition of the show. Back next week, same time on these same radio stations and on your audio device of choice whenever you want it. I'll be here. Hope you will be too. The email address for this program, the chance to get Cars I Talk t-shirts. Sounds a little ancient, doesn't it? Oh, and a playlist of the music heard here on, and a lot of stuff to read and watch and enjoy. All of it. Absolutely all of it. At harryshearer.com. And I'm on Blue Sky. At Harry Shearer. Still on Twitter. A little bit. At The Harry Shearer. A little bit. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of WWNO New Orleans, flagship station of the Change is Easy radio network. So long from the home of the homeless.